us to do this together this morning. And I want to pray the Lord's Prayer with you. We're going to do it slowly. We're just going to do it line by line. This is not a religious ritual. This is just a wonderful moment to call on the name of the Lord and pray the way that He wants us to pray. Let's do it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You may take your seats. Something that sometimes we assume people know, but often we don't realize that this is not a ritual that Jesus prescribes, but it is a relationship that he suggests we ought to have as we consider this prayer. And so last week we started off and Kilton spoke to us about our Father in heaven. And it actually is the focus of our prayer, is Father. Unless we have an understanding, I want to suggest this to you, of who the Father is, our prayers have the potential to become more about us. And it is so, so possible that that could become the reality for all of us. That our prayers would become more around us instead of the Father. So Jesus, it's no coincidence that he starts off by saying, our Father. That's where the focus ought to be. And the deeper the understanding of who he is as our Father, the easier the rest will happen. And a good question we ought to ask ourselves is, do you know the Father? Because that will determine your prayer life. Then I also have to ask, how would it be possible, though, for our prayers to be more centered around him than ourselves? How can we make sure that his name is hallowed, as it says in the next verse there? It does start by recognizing that he is our Father. The understanding of him as our Father is absolutely crucial for our worship of him. The greater revelation leads to greater worship. I think, therefore, often we battle to worship because our revelation, understanding of who God the Father is so limited. People are like, well, I know I have to worship, but I don't really know him who I ought to worship. That's why it's so good, folks, for you to grow in your understanding of who God the Father is. And hence, these maturity moments for you to use. Jesus then in this prayer, he takes us to the worship of God in the next line when he says, our Father in heaven, he says, hallowed be your name. And that's where we are this morning on this topic from Matthew 6 verse 9b really. He takes us to the worship of God when he says, hallowed be your name. So what does it mean to hallow someone? It's not a word that we're familiar with. Hallow. We know hello, but not hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W. The Greek word for hallow is hagiazo. It's a very simple word that really means to acknowledge or to set apart as holy, treated as not common. I like that last line. Is that I wonder just how often it does become real for us that we treat God as common. Jesus says you can't do that. And therefore it's so important that we know who the Father is, because if we know who the Father is, surely we would not treat him as common. That hallowed be your name would be possible, would be real for us. It means that we set someone or something apart for being very worthy. It happens when we greatly honor and revere that personal thing. And you know what? We find this hagiazo happening throughout life. By the way, all of you here this morning are hallowers. Actual fact, wherever you go in life, you find hallowers. People that worship. The fact that the reason why the church exists, by the way, is because there's wrong hallowing happening. We worship the wrong thing. The worship of God is absent, therefore missions exist. And that's the purpose of the church, is mission. All of us, every single one of us sitting here today, at one stage in our lives, hopefully it has ended, we were hallowing something or someone else. We were prescribing value, and that thing or that person as, whoa, you know, absolute honor and recognition given to that thing or person. We do that. We do that with places. Come on. There's certain faiths and beliefs in worship that says we go to the high mountain. That's a place. How many of you grown up to know that the high mountains are the place of worship? People go to the Metopas for that. People go to Jerusalem thinking, this is the holy place. People go to Mecca. Every year, there are these treks because people assume that there's something of high value found. It's not a common place. They set it apart to be hallowed. We even hallow people. Unfortunately, dead people are hallowed. Kings and queens are hallowed. Sports stars and celebrities are hallowed. Things are hallowed. You find that national flags, ooh, you don't touch the flag. We hallow it. Sentimental jewelry inherited perhaps. Hallow that stuff. Ooh, I never wear it. Because just now I lose it. We place so much value on it, it's not part of the common stuff that we have. It's separate. That thing. You don't touch. I don't know if any of you have things like that. Hopefully not. It's not wrong to have inherited items. Both my parents are late. And so I have a Bible from my father. And I have a watch from my mom. And they items. But I don't hallow them. If I lose them, I lose them. It'll be sad, but it doesn't mean my life comes to an end. We hallow maybe a favorite mug. You don't touch my mug. It's my cup for the morning. You know, anybody touches my coffee mug. It's almost like a hallowing thing. A special pen for special moments, for signing of special documents or whatever it is. We only use that pen for that thing. Maybe sometimes we make so much about these things. It's history of that item makes it irreplaceable. Oh, if I lose this thing, I don't know. I don't know. You're very quiet this morning. Maybe there are some things that you find that because of the history of the sentimental value that you carry, that it carries, that you just can't imagine losing it. That's possibly hallowing it. In other words, there are all sorts of hallowing happening every single day of our lives. I said to you, we're all hallowers. You're coming back to this prayer then. Once we understand who the Father is, the next thing that should follow, Jesus says, is hallowing. And the hallowing of Him and Him only. Because it starts with our Father. Then it says, hallow. What does that look like? We'll go into it soon. But when Jesus introduces this prayer to us, He clearly is implying that my hallowing of God should take precedence over the hallowing of a person, a practice, a habit, or a thing. Hallowing of Jesus. Hallowing Jesus says, of the Father, says it needs to take precedence over any other hallowing. Can't put any more value on people, places, things or days, because this particular day, this is what happened, and that day I don't do anything else, but I don't know. There's so many interesting things that we come up with. His instruction, Jesus' instruction to us, is that God should be acknowledged as holy, unlike any other. He is different than any other. He is separate. When we hallow things, we're also indicating that they are different to what we are used to. So this is a different whatever. That thing is very special to me. There's a danger of hallowing it. So let's just look at this concept of hallowing him in the light of the bigger prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray. Because I want to say to you that there are two sets of petitions in this prayer. We firstly find, if you go to the next slide, that the first set is this one, reading that, and the next set is the next slide, it's that. Then as we carry on, I'll show you what the next set is all about, when we underline certain things. See what the first set of petitioning of the prayer that Jesus says that we ought to pray is about. It's about our Father, His name, His kingdom, His will. Nothing about you and me. Right? The next set of prayers, you can see where the focus is. Give us our daily bread, our debts. We also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Very clear. There's a distinction between the first set and the second set. Jesus prays, or the prayer that he introduces us to, is firstly we need to focus on him, and then this will become possible. But isn't it so interesting that we jump the first set? Just generally in life. Not the wording, but the principle. That we jump from focus on Christ and on God to focus on me. Again, you're looking so incredibly holy this morning. It's not a relevant issue to you. I know. It's probably for the people from, I don't know, whatever town you want to mention. I'm not going to mention that name because often I get in trouble if I mention that name. I'll just use another name at another time. But this is relevant for all of us, ladies and gentlemen. When our prayer life is mostly this section, it's not possible to be answered really because this is not in place. And it's a challenging thing for me because I'm so aware of God, this, and please help you. And but have I come to our Father just to enjoy Him and then to say, hallowed be your name. Not hallowed be my needs and my wants and my issues and my family and my children. Because I pray for my children and Jesus every day. That's wonderful, my son. But are you praying, my will be done, my kingdom come, my name to be hallowed? But Jesus, don't you know there's so many issues here? He says, well, they'll be dealt with. Come here first. And instead of just looking at this as a bulk, I want to suggest to you this morning, and I just read through some of the beautiful things that John Piper, one of the well-known authors in the States, wrote. And I love his perspective. And he said he was looking at this prayer, and one thing that he noticed is that hallowed be your name actually ties with everything else. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. It's so true. Because in hallowed be, God is challenging our hearts. Yeah, people, food and sin and stuff. Over here, hallowed be is challenging my heart. Now, I know that through your kingdom come, my heart will be addressed, and through your will be done, my heart will be addressed, but it's not named. Here it is. Let my name be hallowed. Where? In your life. In your life. As a matter of fact, hallowed be your name is different than all the other five. There are five others. Here's three, and then before there were two. And all other five serve that one prayer. Look at it in the next slide. If your kingdom comes, your name will be hallowed. If I do what God wants me to do, and in his kingdom and letting, and we'll go through that next week. What does it mean when we say your kingdom come? If that is real in my life, his name is hallowed. His name is set apart. His name is exalted above everything else. If, for instance, the next one, if your will be done on earth, your name is hallowed. But if his will is not done, if I refuse his will, and I pray, oh, hallowed be your name, but I'll do my will. There's a link. Do you see that? If we pray for it, there's the next line that says, give us this day our daily bread. Why do we need daily bread? Just to survive? No. It's to live. To have the energy. To let the praises of God come from my lips. It's not just so that I can manage an 8-to-5 day or whatever it may be. I eat and I give my body sustenance so that I can live for his honor. The next line too, if I forgive and are forgiven, his name is hallowed. If we resist to ask for forgiveness, I don't need it. And if people ask me for my forgiveness, I will forgive you. Look at what you've done. His name is not hallowed. And then the last one, the whole thing about not being led into temptation and to let the evil one reign in my life. If I resist, then his name is hallowed. Then his name is exalted. So guess what? When we start with this prayer, because this is the first petition of this prayer, we firstly start, Jesus says, the focus is our Father. It's not me. It's not my children. It's not my future. It's not my finances. It's not my body. It's not my health. It's our Father. It's our Father. Then if our Father is a focus, my desire now becomes that comes from the heart is, I want to hallow his name. I want to hagiazo. I want him to be set apart in my life. Not to be treated as a common one. He's different. So this is what this prayer is all about. Now, this is exactly what Jesus also did when he prayed to his Father. Look at John chapter 12, verse 27 with me, would you? You all with me? It's good. John chapter 12, he says this, and he's in anticipation of what's going to happen, which is the crucifixion and everything that went with that, he says in John 12, 27, now is my soul troubled. I mean, how many of you have got that on your fridge? You know, a quote by Jesus. Well, how many of us want to quote everything of that Jesus said? Well, this is one of those. Now is my soul troubled. He says, and what shall I say? In this state of being troubled. Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. He says that's the purpose of this very hour. He came to this world for this reason, that the glory of the name of the Father and for him to be hallowed into our context of this prayer. He clearly did not say that he came for this hour to be saved from it. And many of us, God, just save me from this hour that I'm in. Save me from this place that I'm in. Save me from the people that I'm amongst. Jesus is saying, I've come to glorify your name. And then the Father responds. It's a beautiful thing, this. A voice came from heaven, it says, I have glorified it, the name of the Father, and will glorify it again. Jesus, Father God out of heaven is just saying, yes, but it's already happening. My name has been glorified, Jesus, through what you've done. You've come into the earth. You've been around for 33 years now. And what will still happen is that you will be crucified and you will be resurrected. And I will still be glorified in that. So, way to go, Jesus. You're doing well. This is what you've come for. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. But you've come for my glory. And so the Father would be saying to Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing, you are hallowing my name. Well done, Jesus. So Jesus comes and he teaches us this prayer from the lifestyle of what he has lived. He's done it. He's doing it. It's not just, oh, do something that I've never considered in my life. He's saying, this is wow, I've chosen to live. Clearly the focus of the life of Jesus, and should be ours too, as seen in this prayer, Matthew 6. I just love the fact that what Jesus is saying there is, hey, I've lived this too. I've got the Father as my focus, and I'm hallowing his name. So come along. Come along and do what I'm doing. There is one ultimate purpose in the Lord's Prayer. That's up here. The glorifying, the hallowing, the magnifying, the treasuring, and loving of God's name above everything else. You've got to see it. And therefore, it's not a ritual, a ritualistic, just a saying that we just memorize and just try to, I haven't done the Lord's Prayer today yet. My day is going to be a mess. And I quickly just rumble it off and carry on and hope that that will now bless the day. But is the Father the focus? And am I hallowing his name? How do we do this? How do we hallow God's name? And I guess there are a number of answers to this, but I want to just stop at one, if I may, this morning, and just share with you just the simplicity of what it means and what it could mean for you. Surely it's more than just not using his name in a profane way, because that's often what we think it is. Hey, hallowed be your name is just not at the end of a rough day, not to shout out, oh, whatever. Or when something happens to me and I use his name, and at least I'm not doing that. So tick the box. I'm hallowing his name. I want to suggest to you that's way more than that. And well done for not using his name in vain. But it's more about living in such a way that God's name is honored and revered, not only through our lips, but primarily our actions. And that's where it gets tough. That's where it gets tough. Our actions put value to his name, and not primarily our words. We're actually praying the following if we understand the importance of protecting his name. This is just a paraphrase of what this name or this prayer could look like, or hallowing his name. Let me see, show it to you, please. A prayer of hallowing his name could look like the following. May the whole of my life be a source of delight to you. And may it be an honor to the name which I bear, which is your name. Hallowed be your name. It's much more serious than not just using his name in vain. It's saying, Lord, I'm carrying your name. And you know the name that you and I have? Sons of God. We're sons. We're adopted into his family. And I do have my name still. My parents gave me. But my identity is, I am his. I carry his name. And many of you here this morning would take it very seriously when you consider your earthly name and the earthly family that you're from. And you don't want to disrespect your family. Well, I'm from the Ndlovu family. You know, us Ndlovus, this is how we live. Or I'm from the Kumalo family, or the Moyo family, or the Buerta family, or the whatever, Smith family. And there's a respect that we have. We don't want to shame the name. Often people think like that. Maybe it's changed. But often people are like so aware of, hey, listen, within our family, this is how we live. This is how we act. And we can't go against that. Let's not shame the name. But our greatest identity seems not to carry the same weight often. That we hallow, in my case, the Funavestes and family name. I'm very aware of the fact that, oh, I don't want to bring dishonor to that name. Because they'll say, yeah, you see, that's them. That family, it's them. But there's a greater family that you and I belong to that supersedes any family that you're from. And that family name carries much more weight than what your earthly and my earthly name could ever carry. And that's the name that should be honored above all. And so, friends, sure, touchy ground, hey? If you are more committed to your family name than to the Father's name, there's some readjustment that needs to come. If there's more concern about how you treat the family name than the Father's name, we're out of line. We've got to reconsider our value system. We've got to redefine where I'm identified to, whom I'm identified to. I know very little about my ancestors. I know that they came to southern tip of Africa called the Cape of Good Hope in 1654. A man by the name of Piet van Westhuizen came from area in Belgium. He was supposed to be a Belgian soldier. And they were given the opportunity to relocate to Africa. 1654. I'm African. But that does not define me. I don't know what's happened since. I mean, I can read up and I read about this and I read about that. And I know a little bit about my ancestry coming from my mother's side. From the West End, obviously from my father's side. And so it's like, wow, it's beautiful, wonderful things. But I cannot be more committed to that than to my Father who's in heaven. For his name ought to be honored and revered and hallowed beyond any earthly identity that we have. So I ask of you, whether you're Shona, Ndebele, Tonga, Venda, maybe Sesotho still, or Tswana, or English, or Afrikaans, or whatever your ancestry is, you've got to be willing to let go of that, because if you don't, you can't hold on to your primary identity, so that would become your hallowing and not our earthly families. I love my family and I appreciate them. But I've got this family. I've got a father who is beyond any earthly father could ever be. In our modern world, we so often end up in dishonoring. There is so much dishonoring happening currently in our world. And we see it every day. No matter what your affiliations are, constantly people are dishonoring one another, discrediting. And in particular, God, the honor towards him does not feel weighty anymore, because dishonor becomes a matter of personal feeling rather than shared moral reality. People say, well, if it doesn't feel wrong to me, it's fine. If I dishonoring, it feels fine for me. It's okay. Next slide is about that. Well, I'll just quote this, that our modern world easily dishonors, and therefore hallowing God's name is often not weighty anymore. That we consider what is right for God, to honor him, to do what is honorable towards him, is not such a high value anymore. Because in our world, we live in a society where dishonor is happening all the time. And so often we joke about it, but there are certain people, high profile politicians, that are so dishonoring towards others that it becomes the norm for everybody to live like that. And so when we want to honor God, we have this society, we have this worldly environment where dishonor is rife, and we're like, it's difficult to bring it into line here because we are so confronted with it around ourselves. When we look at dishonor in this way, we are saying, I may have done what seems to be accepted, but it feels unaccepted, but it feels right to me. I know that it's not possibly right for God, but it feels right for me. So I can dishonor. I won't. Hello. God knows my heart, we may say, and my relationship with him is personal, and every issue is between him and me. So you guys just butt out. I'm doing what I feel is okay. May not be honoring for you. Hey, but leave me out of your space. What it does to our relationships with each other if we live in this dishonoring environment is that we have no right to challenge sin in each other's lives because that would indicate control. How dare you come and tell me what I'm doing is sinful? You have no right over my life. And so a dishonoring environment creates this world where we actually start disconnecting from one another as believers, because we're allowing the worldly thinking to infiltrate our godly environment and values. So we say repentance is no longer a biblical value, but it's only optional. Our public witness loses its meaning. God's name becomes immune to accountability. The name is spoken but no longer honored. Personal judgment supersedes established moral standards as the ultimate authorities. Like, I feel this is right for me. I know that God says this, but hey, it feels right for us and for me to do this. So I'll dishonor. Because, I mean, surely we're not under that strict. But we're easy to say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. But it's mere lip talk. It's not backed up by lifestyle. It says, God, see, what is right to you? This is, I don't want to treat you as just something common. I want to treat you with the respect and the reverence that is owed to you. And so, Lord God, whatever it takes, I'll hallow your name. I'll hallow your name. And I think for us as believers, this is quite challenging. And I sense even right now, there are some of you that may say, I don't know if I'm prepared to go this way. But you know what? If this is not in place, give us our daily bread, Lord. What right do I have? What right do I have? I won't get to the place where I say, God, please forgive me for my sins, because I don't care about your influence and your holiness in my life. Why would sin then be an issue? Sin would not be a problem because God's name is not hallowed. We've got to take stock of our lives. Not take stock of our material possessions, which we so easily can do. It's like, hey, sorry, shop is closed today, we're doing stock take. That's good. But what about doing stock take of our inner world? Of where I am in hallowing his name. So I ask of you right now to do that. Honoring his name is linked to what we think of him. Because there's no, I won't honor somebody that I have no relationship with, that I do not value. which we should to everybody, and more so to God. And if I know who He is, and I know that He's the Almighty, then honoring is not optional, but it's the way I want to live. Honoring His name is acknowledging Him and not pushing Him to the side and taking control of our lives, but understanding that I now live with His name to be protected. I want to live for Him. So could I ask you please to stand as we just take a moment to let what we talked about settle into our hearts. I'm going to ask you the question, is God's name currently hallowed through your life, through my life? Is His name hallowed through my lifestyle? Is His name hallowed through my choices? Is His name hallowed through my relationships? Is His name hallowed through my obedience to Him? Is His name hallowed through my finances? Is His name hallowed through the current rhythms that I have in my life? Through the rest that I afford myself? Is the name of God hallowed in my life? Lord, as we stand before You,